I'm Anita Annabelle, and this is The Good Chat.
No, I'm not like compliments.
I'm quietly, I'm loving it.
I love making friends. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm a psychic. This podcast is going to be a
little chit chat.
This is probably the best chat. No, that's why this is called The Good Chat. We get good chat, mate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Good Chat. I am your host, Anita Annabelle. On today's episode, I have the absolute honour of speaking to one of my very, very, very dear friends, Fee Dang. Now, Fee is a life coach and she mixes human design and intuitive ability and also a wealth of knowledge in helping you live your very best life. I honestly couldn't have thought of a better person to invite on my podcast to talk about bringing in a positive new year. 2022 is one of those years that everybody is looking at as a huge reset after the global pandemic of the last 2 years. And I know that the collective energy is feeling very drained and very excited to bring in a brand new year. It's a massive reset of sorts. It's a massive transformation. And I just want to put a disclaimer out. If you're not really into spirituality, this may not be the podcast episode for you, but I guarantee you, you are going to learn so much from both Fee and I, who, whenever we get together, we talk all things manifestation, affirmations, and really heralding in your power. So this is something that's very, very close to my heart, being a psychic medium. And it's not something I often talk about on this actual podcast. I mean, you may hear it here and there, but it is a really big part of my identity. So I thought the best person to have on would be my very beautiful friend, Fee. So here's Fee Dang. Hello, Fee.
Hi, Anita. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm just so excited to be here and chatting to you.
I am so excited to have you. I think sometimes these chats with people that you know and love are the best chats.
I think they are.
Because it's totally. And I think for anybody listening, I just want to explain how you and I know each other. So Fee and I used to work together at Val Morgan when I was working at Val Morgan Digital, and Fee was working in their branded team. And Fee and I met literally, it must have been in my first week, but we really didn't become friends until a bit of a while later, I guess. But when we did meet, we realized how much we had in common. And you and I have both left there.
Yes.
And we have remained friends. And that was like, I was thinking about this. I'm pretty sure that was 2 years ago. We've known each other for 2 years.
What? Time's just like flown by, seriously.
I know. But, you know, the other thing is that it feels like I've known you a lifetime. And a lot of people will find this when they have friends, that there are some people that literally come into your life and you're like, I feel like I've known you forever. You can have the most beautiful chats. You and I are there for each other 24/7. If you look at our phones, it's like constant voice memos and lifting each other up. We always do something where if one of us is having a bad day, we always protect ourselves by going, I'm not having a good day. I'm just letting you know, protect yourself before you listen to this. But at the same time, we have that amazing connection and that amazing energy. And we were just talking about this before we started recording, was that whenever we speak to each other, it's such a powerful energy, I guess. And it's so wonderful. So I love you. And I know everybody is going to absolutely love you.
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. Like it's so funny you say that, because it feels like, you know, when you say we feel like we've known each other for a lifetime. I feel like we've known each other for lifetimes and beyond. Like just, we definitely have that connection. Yeah. And I think one of the most beautiful things about our friendship is we learn so much from each other. So I'm so excited for our chat today. Ooh. I think people are going to have their minds like blown with information and all the goodness.
I just got goosebumps. Yay, that was so cool. So I did warn everybody that if manifesting and spirituality and that kind of thing is not for you, this may not be the podcast episode for you. But like I said in this introduction, this is a really, really big part of my identity. It's a huge part of Fee's identity as well. And so I think it's something that's really important that you honor who you are and honor your truth. And I think that's what speaks to people more than anything. Would you agree?
Yeah, 110%. And I think we've kind of discussed this, but definitely for me, I definitely used to not feel comfortable speaking about this stuff for fear of, you know, judgment and people not agreeing. But now I'm in such a good place where I'm like, you know what? Everyone should have a healthy level of skepticism, but have an open mind.
Absolutely.
Maybe you'll learn something, maybe you won't, and that's okay, but at least you can try, right?
And do you know what I do love? And I wonder if this is something that you have picked up on or that you've noticed recently, that when you do start talking about who you are and talk your truth and explain to people what it is that we do, it's so funny how people are actually so receptive to it. And you always find that you find people who come up to you or who are gravitating towards you who really either need you or who are open to this. So I haven't found any resistance. I mean, yeah, I lose a few followers on Instagram when I post about being a psychic medium or whatever, but it just means that they're not my tribe, they're not my people, and it's just not really something that they are into.
Yeah, I think so. I think most people are really respectful and they'll kind of just say, hey, I'm not into this. But I think it's funny when you mention that because it kind of ties into manifestation, which is something I'm sure we'll talk about. But I truly believe we're always, you know, attracting an energetic match into our field. And so that's why you probably don't receive people that have backlash or resistance because they're just probably not in your field.
Exactly. So before we dive into anything manifestation and positive 2022 and everything that I thought you would be the perfect person to speak to, let's talk about your journey into being a life coach. Because like I said, you were in the corporate world with me and we both decided at the end of this year to not be in that corporate rat race anymore. You, I'm so proud of, have become a full-time life coach. And I have to tell everybody this, I told Fee this months ago. And she was like, didn't believe it, didn't think it was going to happen. And now she's like booked out. So it's anything is possible, guys. But Fee, how did you become a life coach?
Yeah, it wasn't something that I knew I was going to become. I think people are always thinking that they have to find their purpose. But I very much found in my life that purpose found me. And during a time where people would kind of be like, well, I don't think much is going to happen, because it actually started during the pandemic. And, you know, I finally had some spare time in my life and I've always been really passionate about mental health. And that's because when I was 19, my dad passed away, which was a huge life-changing moment for myself. And, you know, I've had a lot of different life experiences in the corporate world and traveling and all of these things. So I finally opened this account and I think when you align with your soul and your purpose, it just like blew up. And so I had a big following and then people wanted to know who I was, and then as I spoke more about myself and my life experiences and shared some insights, people were like, hey, can you talk to me? Can you do a phone call with me? And then, yeah, long and behold, I became a life coach and I actually kept it secret from everybody, including yourself, in my life, which is so funny. We mentioned at the beginning, I think I was so scared of judgment and people not understanding myself. And then as the universe does, it revealed myself anyways, even though I was trying to hide. And so then, you know, during the pandemic, I took some courses, I took on some clients, and then, yeah, it just grew. It's something that I absolutely adore. And, you know, I think you gave me this advice, when you do what you love, like abundance is natural. And I do laugh about the fact that you did tell me this and I was so fearful and so resistant and you're like, don't worry. And being on the other side, first of all, I learned that Anita is mainly always right. And second of all, how much happiness awaits you when you're brave enough to follow your heart and your soul and your intuition.
Mm. And it's what's really funny is that, you know, I always forget myself. Like I can give you that advice and I say those things, you know, when you're living your purpose and living your truth, that abundance is near. But it's very easy for your ego, which when we talk about ego in this conversation, we're talking about your mind. So your actual
your physical mind rather than your intuition, I guess you could say. But it always does overtake, and that's usually fear-based. So fear does come, and fear tells you, no, I can't do this. This is like a negative self-talk. No, this is not going to happen. I can't imagine how that's going to happen. And something that Fee has been grappling with me as a friend in the last couple of months is that exact thing, is me going, I can't see a way out of this. I can't see anything changing. How is this gonna manifest? But one thing that I think is so important is that we do discuss today how people can get out of that mindset of just trust that things are gonna work out in their favor. So you touched on before about lived experiences. And one thing that I always know as an intuitive, as an empath, is that we have to go through those experiences to help others.
Yeah, for sure. You know, with human design, actually my life purpose and path has struggle incorporated into it. And before I knew my human design, I was a bit, you know, I used to be in victim mode. I used to be like, why me? Why do I have to go through all these hard experiences in life? Like, what is the purpose of life? Because all of these negative things are happening to me. And then when I found my calling, it made me realize, like, I go through struggles so that I have firsthand experience to help other people. And I'm sure, like yourself, most healers and those that like to help people have been through their own pain, and they know what it feels like. And so we want to help people who have been us before and, you know, feel lonely, because it's very easy in the world to be surrounded by so many people but feel so alone.
Absolutely. And I think that anybody who is going through any struggles right now, it's really important to know that you actually are going through these things to grow. And I'm not diminishing what anyone's going through, because it is a hard, hard, hard life out there. And I know that there's so many things that people are going through that you're like, why the fuck is this happening to me? But it is one of those things that you will literally come out such a stronger person on the other side. And there's always a reason. There's always a reason as to why a relationship has broken down. There's always a reason as to why that job didn't work out. There's always a reason. You did touch on human design before. For anybody who doesn't know what human design is, I'll get you to explain it. But I have to tell you, when Fee did human design with me, I was literally like, this is me on paper. So can you explain to everybody what human design is?
Yeah. Oh gosh. You just like encapsulated all of the energy that I feel for human design as well. And essentially you can liken it to a blueprint, a guide, or a roadmap to your soul and your life. You know, in your human design, the chart that you're speaking about, and you know, we call it the body graph. And what it is your soul's blueprint. So we can see all of the details about you. It goes so in depth, and the things you kind of mentioned, Anita, we can see like your strengths, your soul purpose and your themes, your personality. We can see details about manifesting, your love life, your business, like all of the things. And you can think of human design as the love child between astrology and Myers Briggs, you know, like personality tests. And people always ask me, well, what is the difference between human design and astrology? Well, human design, it, you know, encapsulates quantum physics, as well as, you know, astrology, the chakra system, that book of I Ching, like the Chinese truths, Kabbalah. But what it actually does is it tells you who you are, but it also shows you the way. How do you actually live your best life? And I think that's the main thing about human design that I'm so passionate about, is it gives you practical tips and strategies on how to be your best self and make those big decisions in life.
I mean, even down to the point of, my favorite is the not self. Mm. So the not self is like when you're not living your truth, basically.
The not self is, I think, one we can share in common is the mind, right? When we're not ourselves, we're kind of misplacing other people's thoughts as our own thoughts, or perhaps their yes. energy as our own energy, their emotions as our own emotions. So these are linked to our energetic centers, which is very similar to the chakra system.
So in terms of the energy of other people, this is something that I really wanted to talk to you about, because I know I've felt that with clients in the last couple of weeks, that the collective energy is just hard right now. Everybody is tired. Everybody is frustrated. People are almost looking at 2022 as a reset. Mm. And I mean, I know I am. I'm like looking forward to just that clock ticking over on December 31st to January 1, going, this is the start of something new. As you know, Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens would say from High School Musical, love it. But it is, it truly feels like that's what's going to happen in 2022. And people are putting a lot of pressure on next year to be something that it's going to be quite magical. So in terms of like right now, what do you feel as a life coach, as a human design coach, what do you think the collective energy is and how do you think that's going to change in 2022?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you. It is a bit, you know, heavy and draining at the moment, but I think it's actually a really wonderful sign of slowing down. I think, you know, nature has taken its force and the global pandemic has happened to kind of rebalance and reshift and energize everybody. And everyone's so quick to jump out of lockdown and the pandemic, and many of us forget about the lessons about what we liked about slowing down and surrendering to what was, and a life where it wasn't filled with busy, 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 doing, hustling, hustling, hustling. And especially in Australia with the La Nina, like, I don't think that's a coincidence either. I don't believe in coincidences. Like, again, All of nature is asking everybody to slow down, not to, you know, get in the way of your plans and your Christmas holidays and things like that. But I think it's just asking you, like, it's giving you the most incredible window of opportunity to slow down. You know, I for one, am so grateful because I was able to launch a business during times like that. And so, again, I think people need to be really kind and compassionate with themselves. We've been going through a once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic that's really been hard on everyone's mental health. And, you know, it can leave us feeling really upset and frustrated, again, if we choose to stay in victim mode, like, poor me. But this is the funniest thing in life, right? Everybody had to face this global pandemic. It wasn't just one person. So we're literally all in it together. And I can feel such, I think we were talking about this, Anita, such positive, like beautiful, sparkly energy for 2022. Like, look at the numbers, Anita, like 222, like 222 itself is a master builder number and it represents a stable foundation, a new beginning. So there's so much goodness in 2022. And I think, you know, we'll see more of the feminine rising. That's something I've seen in myself with my clients, like going with the flow of your emotions, not trying to force and hustle and understand why and control everything, but just allowing things to flow.
You know, it's so interesting that you're saying the feminine rising, because I've noticed a lot of the men that I've met recently and they've been quite emotional. They're starting to tap in. They're starting to really understand this thing of slowing down. And they're, like I was saying before, like they're really interested in what I'm saying in terms of like the energy and that kind of thing. They're also realizing that it's actually okay for a male, and we're talking like a physical masculine here, for a masculine energy to slow down and actually go inwards and actually find their truth as well. And that's not something that, I don't know about you, but that's not something that I've ever really encountered until very recently. So a lot of the men that I'm meeting are very much really into this kind of energy exchange. They're into learning about how to be emotionally better. They're also battling a lot of demons and also, I guess, fixing their wounds, their inner wounds. And that's something I've never encountered before.
Yeah, I love it. I love even hearing about it. And, you know, my journey really did start about being really passionate about men's mental health and having worked with men and having male clients. I think it's such a beautiful thing for everybody collectively. I think we're all healing the wounds that we've had from the masculine energy of just forcing things. And it's very tiring and controlling. And I always ask my clients, like, do you actually want to control everything? Imagine you had the power of the universe, that any changes or split second decisions changes a whole new series of paths. There's a lot of pressure to control everything. And I think that's why it's always about, you know, surrender, which is really, really hard.
Surrendering is the hardest thing. Fee and I talk about this all the time. It's about letting go. It's like something that we were talking about before, letting go of that fear and knowing that everything is going to work out and be okay. Because a lot of the time when you're going through real trauma or you're going through a process of feeling like, oh my God, is this ever going to end? It's really hard to see out the other side, but there is an element of letting go and understanding that you have to go through this to get to the other side. And that, to be honest, in that kind of spiritual witchy woo-woo that we like to say, is that it is about trusting the universe or trusting that everything is going to work out for the higher good. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting concept because I think you've kind of brought this up. Like, for a lot of people, they find it so hard to trust. Like, how do I just trust that everything is working out for me and everything that I want is just around the corner? And for me, being a human design life coach, it's all about, it's not in your mind. Trust isn't like a mental concept, and trust is very much something that you feel in your body. It's a deep knowing that cannot be explained logically and rationally. And, you know, for a lot of people, what I offer to them is a shift. You know, instead of saying I trust the universe, how about I allow the universe? I think trusting has this feeling of, oh, like I have to trust, like I should trust, whereas allow feels very like, ooh, okay, I might not like what's happening, I might not agree with it, but I'll allow it and I'll see what happens.
Oh, I love that. I'll allow it. It's one thing that I have started doing the last couple of days is affirmations. I mean, I've been doing them for quite a while, and whenever I have clients, I'm always like, you know, you'd really benefit from some affirmations. And they could be literally like, I am worthy, I am a star, I am good enough. I'm at the moment trying to manifest new love. So, I am worthy of a beautiful and wonderful love, or something like that. And even just practicing gratitude as well is something that I think a lot of people really struggle with. But affirmations, I find, it really puts you on another wavelength. So I know that if I am having a real down day and I'm like, I don't want to go out, or I don't want to go have a podcast, or I don't want to go to a meeting, and I'm feeling like really in my head, I'll be like, I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy, I'm worthy. And I guarantee you, every single time I nail it. And it's just about really almost not controlling that aspect, but it's almost like going, I am worthy of this opportunity. I am worthy to be in this room where I'm standing. I am worthy of having great things. I am worthy of abundance. I am worthy of all of these things. And a lot of people really, really struggle with that negative self-talk. And this is something that I would love to talk to you about, because that's something that I know that you change in a lot of people. It's changing that self-talk. And doing affirmations is actually changing your vibration and changing the way you see the world. So in terms of negative self-talk, it's like, you know, I've been lately going, I'm so sick, I'm so sick, I'm so sick, I feel sick, I'm sick, 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 sick. And I've been sick with a virus for 6 weeks. I now know that if I actually turn that around and say, I am well, I am healthy, you know, even being sick is like a way of slowing down.
Yeah.
Listening to your body, but then acknowledging that. How do you personally help people change their negative self-talk?
Yeah, I mean, the brain is just so fascinating. And I think the one thing that jumped to my mind as you were speaking was the fact that your brain can't distinguish between reality and imagination. There's no such thing. The brain sees it both. It feels it's like reality. It's like, you know, when you go down and you visit a memory and it feels so real, you know, a breakup, it feels so painful. And that's because, you know, your mind can't tell that it's something that was in the past. So you have to really realize the power of your mind and the thoughts that you have. And I think about negative self-talk, it's about realizing that, well, your brain's actually geared for negativity. You know, your brain is wired for comfort. It's not wired to be happy and all of the things. So you've got to actively work to rewire your brain in the way that you mentioned. Like, affirmations are a beautiful example. You know, it's so important to take power and take control of that narrative and feel into those feelings like, yes, I am worthy, because you know, the mind, when it comes to positive experiences, seems to be like Teflon, just like flicks it away. So you have to work, you know, double time to make sure that that positivity really cements in your brain.
Why is it that we actually we think negatively immediately?
Yeah, everybody is that way, and that's because of our ancestors. You know, think about the cavemen back in the day. If they were, you know, going out and say, for example, they hear a rustling in the bushes, if they didn't assume the negative, which is like it's a lion or it's a dinosaur, it's going to eat me and kill me, it would just relax and then, oh, whoops, it was actually a lion or a dinosaur and it kills you. And so that is very much like an instinctual thing within humans, is to have that negativity bias so that we don't get complacent and then we die. But unfortunately, we've definitely grown and evolved, but our brains haven't kept up with that speed. And so that's why your fight and flight's triggered when, you know, you lose a job or you have a breakup or something goes wrong that you didn't plan. That automatically triggers that ancestral thing that we've developed. And quite frankly, like, we should be really, really grateful in a way, because that's how humans have survived for so long.
It's kind of scary though, that your first thought is always the negative. Like we always say, you know, fear really is the thief of joy. And when you're constantly in this negative headspace, it's almost like your brain searches for things that is negative.
It really does.
Yeah, it really does. And it's like, and then that's why, you know, bad periods can happen, because getting out of that, it's like, I always say, this is my favorite metaphor, is sometimes I feel like I'm on a trapeze and I can see my partner across there, and I'm not talking romantic, I'm not talking anything like that. I can just see my partner who's going to catch me. But what happens is I swing and I swing and I swing and I have this really good momentum. And then when I go to fly, I just miss them. And that's how I feel like life has been a lot lately for so many people, because it's like, we've had the global pandemic, we've had job loss, we've had money loss, we've had people doing homeschooling, we've had, you know, this collective fear. And it just, even though there is light at the end of the tunnel with vaccines, etc., we still are like, well, when's the other shoe going to drop? When are we about to go back into lockdown? When are we going to close the borders? There's always that element of feeling that fear. And one thing that I'm always asked by clients, and I think you're the one who's going to be able to verbalize this so much better than I ever could, is how do you trust what is going on inside? How do you trust that that's an ancestral or your own fear from childhood? Or what's intuition? What's the difference? Because I know for me personally, if I just feel it with no emotion attached, that's intuition. Fear makes you anxious. Fear makes you question everything. Fear makes a mountain out of a molehill. What do you think the difference between intuition and fear is?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think, you know, I always tell people that fear is false evidence appearing real. It's false evidence appearing real. It's stuff in your mind that's convinced you that it's real. And one thing that I know 110% is that your higher self, your soul, is the most loving, loving voice there is. It is pure, unconditional love, the only, if anything. And, you know, the mind can always explain things. The mind, that's why it goes into overdrive and it has all these thoughts and anxious loops, because it always wants to justify and explain and talk. Whereas your intuition, there is nothing to be said. You cannot justify it. You cannot explain it. And that's why I call it, like, it is truly a deep knowing within you. And when it's your higher self and your intuition, there is no fear. And what I would love to add to that, Anita, is that just because you can't see something happening, it doesn't mean that it's not happening. Like, I find it so bizarre people box themselves in, when I'm like, I live in a world of potential infinitiality, right? Like, there's infinite potentials, possibilities. And just like in the same way that pandemic happened without any warning, that same energy can be the energy that freaking makes your dreams happen, everything you manifest and desire. Like, if you asked me a year ago where I would be today, I would tell you I just can't comprehend it. And that's because the mind only knows what it knows now. It only knows what's actually happened. So, of course, if you're dreaming out something you've never had, your mind doesn't know how to make sense of it. So I feel like this energy, it's all about dreaming and possibility. as opposed to having that negative mindset. And of course, you know, negativity is easy, everybody. Negativity is natural. You can fall into it. It is harder to rewire and set yourself into that possibility. But I think it doesn't mean that it can't be done.
And speaking of manifestation, one question that I did get on Instagram is literally, what is manifestation?
Yeah, well, I would say manifestation is the act of bringing all that you desire and you dream of into the physical realm. That's simply how I put it.
Do you remember when we were a bit younger and The Secret came out?
Yes.
So The Secret, everybody, is literally manifestation. And a lot of the biggest people that you know in the world, Will Smith is a perfect example. Russell Brand is a perfect example. People who have manifested these lives for themselves. Jim Carrey, I'm pretty sure,
huge manifester.
Wrote on a check. Yeah, he's a huge manifester. He wrote on a check and put it up on his wall, and it was like $1 million. And he literally manifested that. But the thing is, you can't – this is one thing that everybody gets wrong about manifesting – is you can't just go, okay, I really want $1 million and then do no work for it. So this is something that I really want Fee to explain to everybody, is how do you manifest something, let's just say abundance or $1 million. What is the process to getting $1 million if you want to manifest that?
Yeah, I think the first thing is manifestation is all about feeling, tapping into that feeling. Like, how does it feel to be abundant? And how do you make that feel real now, as opposed to waiting for some future event or getting a shit ton of money, right? And so, for example, what I did and with clients is, if I want to feel rich now, like, you know what, when I do want to get Uber Eats, I'll get it. Or if I buy soap, I will buy a nice brand of soap instead of like the home brand type of soap, because you've got to be able to really tap into that feeling. You know, that's why people say if you want to manifest the dream car, go test drive that car. It doesn't mean you have to buy it or you're obliged. Or if you want the dream home, go to inspections, because it makes you feel as if it's possible for you. It's tangible. It's in your actual reality field. Like, it could actually happen. So I would say that is the first thing. And, you know, most of the time people want these things, but they never deeply think about, why do I actually want it? And what does it actually represent in my life? So for example, with a lot of works with my clients, they say they want money, but I'm like, why do you want money? So they'll tell me all the things. And if you distill it down, well, they want money because it makes them feel safe. Or they want money because it makes them feel secure. Or they want money because they believe that it could give them external validation when they have all the money to look really good and get their hair done and all these things. So you've got to really understand, why do you truly want something? And does it align with your soul and your values? And are you willing to take the inspired action, as you mentioned, Anita? We can't just sit there waiting for something and praying for something. We've actually got to go out there and take some inspired action.
One thing that you have taught me through human design is that there are lots of different types of manifestors. So I know for me, I'm a very quick manifester, negative and positive.
Yes.
I know one of my best friends, Elise, that you know as well. We love Elise. She is a very, very, very fast manifester. She is literally the type of person who will literally be like, I need a new dining room table, and will literally drive out of her apartment and there'll be a dining room table in the street over. But everybody manifests really, really differently. And if I'm not doing what we were talking about before, trusting that it's going to happen, it doesn't happen for me. And if I'm not taking inspired action, you know, I want to do television, I want to do radio, you know, if I'm not taking the steps to do that, it's not just going to magically appear like abracadabra.
Yeah. And I think you make a really good point about that, because there's this misconception that the way that one person manifests will work for everybody else. I think there's going to always be all these different tools and techniques, and it's about finding out what happens to you. Because in human design, we've got specific manifestors, we've got non-specific manifestors. And then again, everybody has different energetic auras, whether life is pulling into them or they are the initiating force for manifestation. And it depends particularly on the energies of your soul's blueprint. So I know for a fact, Anita has one of the most powerful manifesting channels, and that comes naturally. So then again, there's all these different things. So it's kind of like getting to know yourself deeper and doing all these cool different tools and using them to figure out what works best for you.
And there's this big element of transformation. I mean, I'm going through one at the moment, which is we call the dark night of the soul, which is really heavy. It's really heavy shit. You're literally, you're tired, you're emotional, you're a bit of an asshole to people around you. And it's true, you know, but this is part of my manifesting process, is that I need to go through these down moments to get back up into a higher vibration to really get those big, amazing things. And I think one thing that I've learned about myself is that the more I put pressure on myself and the more that I worry and the more that I, what am I going to do with my life? What's happening next? What's going to come? That's when nothing happens.
Yeah, because that's like, think about the way that you're acting. It's like a tight grip. Or, you know, I always like to make it more fun with manifestation and think about dating as manifestation. You know, if you're that person that's really clingy and controlling, what are we? When am I seeing you next? When are we getting married? When are we having kids? It's such a repelling energy versus being like, ooh, let's have fun. Like, let's make this a dance of tension. And you know, that's the joy of life, because if you knew everything, you went through it, it would just be so boring. So I think it's about thinking about your relationship with the universe and manifestation. Well, you know, are you a good lover? Are you, do you do teasing? Are you foreplaying? Are there like natural rhythms and flows, or you're just all, hey, this is what we got to do, blah.
I mean, as one of my best friends, you will know that I literally, that is something that I really struggle with when it comes to romance in particular. You know, I'm 35 years old, so I'm sitting here going, is this ever going to happen for me? You know, and you go into that mindset of every guy you meet, you're like, will I marry this person? Will this person be the father of my children? And you automatically give that repelling energy, and you automatically, you know, there's that whole thing of people, you know, who you're told you've got to be in love with yourself before you can date someone else. And look, that is true. I do honestly believe that is a thing, but it's not the be all and end all if you don't know who you are in a relationship before you go into a relationship, because one of the joys of being in a relationship is that you grow together and that you experience and you explore together. But if you're going in gung ho and you're like, is this the person that I'm going to marry? It's 9 times out of 10 not going to work at all.
Yeah. And I think you've got to, you know, be open and know that, you know, relationships and money as a life coach are the two biggest areas of spiritual growth, you know, that can happen. And, you know, what I would say to you, Anita, is I know that you're 35, but if you're in love, are you going to care what age you are in? No, you're just going to care about the fact that you're so madly in love with whoever you're meant to be with. And you're not going to even remember the times you were single, because you'll just be so here in the moment. And I think that was what I wanted to say, like with everything, whether it's negative self-talk or manifestation, it's all about being here in the present moment, which is the only true real moment. The past is an illusion. The future is a construct, except maybe for you, Anita, because you can see into the future. But for many of us, you know, like it's something that we aren't fortune tellers. We can't see the future. And even then, you and I both know that we have free will and things can shift and change, that it's not set in stone.
And that's one thing about predictions, and something that I've learned really, really a very hard lesson in the last couple of months in particular, is that you can go to a psychic and they can tell you something, but it's not set in stone. So I'm very careful with my clients now after experiencing something in the last couple of weeks, that I don't say to people, this is your future and this is what it's going to be. This is, you know, I can absolutely see within 3 to 6 months, this might happen to you, or you might meet someone called Andrew and then you'll get married to them or whatever. I'm very, very, very careful in terms of it's free will and choice. And yes, I can see this. And a lot of the time, yes, it does happen, but it never happens the way that you expect it's going to happen. So I could say to you, hey, Fee, you're going to meet somebody. Well, you have a beautiful boyfriend, Niall, so you're not going to meet someone. But he's coming home. But it's more that, like, you know, if I was doing a reading for you and it was a love reading, for instance, and I said to you, you know, you're going to meet someone at work, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be in an office and they're going to come and walk past you. It could be that you could be at an event for work and they could walk past you. I had an ex-boyfriend that I was told that I was going to meet through work, and I met him on Bumble writing a story for work. So you've got to be really open. I know it was wild, but you've got to be really open to those kind of things. And also when you're hearing these predictions, or when you want something, this is that whole grasp thing. If you're grasping on too tight, it's never going to come in. A, it's not going to come in. And B, it's never going to come in the way that you expect it. So I always have this analogy, very similar to you, Fee, is where I always say, think of you clenching your fist, and if you poke your finger into your fist, you can't get it in. You can't get that finger because it's so clenched tight, you can't get it in. But when you open your hands to receive, that's when the universe protects you, and that's when it comes in.
I really love that.
It's my favorite. Yeah, it's my favorite. It actually came from an old client of mine who was actually a really good friend of mine. And I remember doing a reading for her, and I was like, do you clench your fists? And she's like, yeah, I do in my sleep. And I said, that is what's stopping you from receiving. And it literally, from that moment — how amazing is the universe, obviously, like telling me this — but from that moment, I was like, well, this is how you receive. You need to be open to it. And it's the same thing with manifesting. If you want that car, go test drive it, but you don't know how you're going to get that car. You don't know what that car's really going to look like. You don't know when you're going to get that car. You just have to feel it and trust and know that that car's coming in some way, shape, or form. And then I guess the last point of a manifesting, would you agree, Fee, is just letting it go?
Yeah, exactly that. You've got to let it go, because I think one of the parameters that you need to set up for yourself in manifestation is that we live in a world of abundance. There is no scarcity. There is plenty and ample of everything you desire out there. So there's no competition, there's no scarcity. And when you operate in that field, you never have any worry, because life is so fruitful. You don't have to worry. And, you know, again, it's about really trusting yourself and knowing that you are always co-creating with the universe. Like, when it's the right time, right place, it will happen. And you know, you never know why something's not happening. For example, a relationship. Maybe if you got into one right now, it would change the path of your career, and that's not what your higher soul wants. So it's like, okay, I need her to be on this path to get the career first and then the partner. Or perhaps if you meet a certain person, you know, maybe it'll be incredible love for the first 6 months, and then it starts to get dark, and then your higher self is like, well, I don't think she's really wanting that. She wants the all-consuming love that's going to be so healthy and soul-fulfilling. So it's like, kind of be thankful for the timing of everything, and, you know, just, again, surrendering and letting go and going with the waves. Because if you think about life and manifestations, you can't fight the waves. The waves will always keep coming. All you can do is learn to, you know, surf them or ride them, or at least be okay floating in the water with them.
In the water, bobbing up and down. And it's so true. When somebody tells you, and this is just going back to the predictions, when somebody predicts something is going to happen in your life and you bank on that, you're not actually allowing anything else to come in. And what's also happening is it's taking your joy, and you're sitting there going, this is something that, you know, this is going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, you're like, well, why didn't this happen? Why is this not my time? I actually got told the other day that I was meant to meet someone in November, and now I'm not on that path anymore, and that I need to, you know, what am I doing wrong to take me off that path? And so then I went into this deep, dark depression of feeling, oh my God, well, now I'm never going to meet anybody. And because how am I ever supposed to get on that wavelength? That is the real negative side to when you're doing this kind of thing, is that if you put too much attention on it, and if you hold it on too tight, and if you're seeking out a million psychics and doing all of that, you can't let it flow. It doesn't flow in. But this is obviously, like I said before, this is not for everybody, and not everybody goes to psychics, and not everybody goes. And I'm probably talking myself out of a job here, but it's true, you know.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, like, I think it's so beautiful for you to share this because I think a lot of people share that sentiment and they're really scared to ask about it or speak up to it. I mean, you yourself are psychic and I also channel messages, and one thing that I've personally found is messages from source are always loving. They're never fear-mongering always. Or cause anxiety or fear. I would say, like, you know, everybody channels differently. And, you know, I think the one thing that I always tell you is that no one can know yourself better than you. Like, you, everybody has this gift within them. Some of us are meant to help other people like yourself and I. And some of us are just meant to tap into that gift within. And, yes, there's so many ways to get around it, but you've got to trust that you already have it within, and to never, you know, even as a life coach, I tell my clients, don't give me your power. Like, I'm here to guide you and support you every step of the way, but you hold the power. Don't put anyone on a pedestal or outsource your power. It's yours. Grab it and fucking go with it.
I love that. And that's so true. Don't give anyone your power. We're talking relationships. We're talking at work. We're talking friendships. We are talking going to see a psychic. We're talking going to see a life coach. Do not ever give people the power to control what's going on inside of you, because it's true. You know, I was warned against dating a guy, and the thing was, I needed to date that guy to understand where I am in my life, to understand, to feel love again, to, you know, so don't let anybody ever say to you, I urge you not to do this, or I urge you not to try that, or, you know, Fee and I can give you advice. We can say, hey, this is what we see, or this is what we're feeling, whatever. And if that resonates with you, that's great. But it's up to your power, to your inner magician, to go, this is what I'm going to do next, and this is what I'm going to use with that information. And that's something that Fee does with that you do with your life coaching, is that you give the people power to manifest. You give them the power to change their lives. You give them the power to do affirmations, to meditate, to really live a phenomenal existence. But on the flip side of that, I do want to say it's not always going to be positive. Fee and I are not positive 24/7.
Nope.
No. And we sometimes, when I say sometimes, we a lot don't practice what we preach because we're human.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a very I think pressing thing in society right now is toxic positivity. Like, I see it in my clients being like, oh, I have to be happy all the time and I have to think happy thoughts all the time. And I'm like, remember that your soul chose to come to earth to have a human experience. And being a human encapsulates the whole damn thing, the high highs, the low lows, the ecstasy, the liberation, but also the fucking chaos and trauma and heartbreak that comes with it. And it's about allowing yourself to experience this all, because it is so beautiful. Like, life would be so boring if it was perfect and planned to a T. So it's also about allowing yourself to be human, knowing that you're not going to be positive all the time, and it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to feel like shit, you know. It's just being a human, and that, like, it's beautiful.
And it's really okay to stop and take stock and understand why you are here. I think one thing that a lot of people don't do is kind of go, what is my purpose? But sometimes delving into what your purpose is really opens your eyes to so many more opportunities.
Yeah, I think it's kind of weird to think that, like, okay, I'm here on this earth, and then you never stop to think, like, why am I here? Or you question things. Like I kind of said at the beginning, like, healthy skepticism is necessary. It's like, find your own meaning of life and ask why you're here, because it can't be some purely amazing coincidence that you just happen to be born and be here right now listening to this or being alive on this earth. Like, there must be something more. And if not, find what lights you up inside to seek that question. You know, be a soul seeker.
And being a soul seeker, it's you will always find, and I'm sure everybody listening will totally, totally get this, but you will always find that people will naturally gravitate to you who you're meant to meet in this life. There's always that soul connection, just like Fee and I, like, we were naturally gravitated. That's why we've remained friends all these years, even though we don't even work together. We speak every single day, you know, even if it's just a voice memo or a text message, but you have that soul tribe. But you also, people coming into your life, even the shitty ones, even the ones who torture you, even the ones who break your heart into a million little pieces, everybody comes in for a reason. And something that I guess, you know, a lot of people don't realize is this whole thing of soulmates. Mm. You can be soulmates with your best friend. You can be soulmates with your parents. You can be soulmates with a lover. A soulmate literally will come in and they will turn your life upside down and put you on the right direction, put you in the right direction. They will show you what life is meant to be, how it's meant to be lived. It will also show you how you don't want to live your life. If you meet someone and you fall head over heels in love with them for 5 minutes, then you realize that's the love I want, even if it doesn't work out with them. And that's what this kind of soul tribe is. It's about finding people who speak your language. And sometimes you can't ignore or stop these people coming in, especially the ones who are here to teach you a lesson. So a lot of the time you're meeting these people and you're, why is this person? Why am I hurting? All of these things, but they're meant to be on this journey with you.
And I really love that, because when you said that, I was like, of course, because love isn't just, you know, limited to romantic relationships. Love is so big. Mm. It exists in your friends, in your family. And so, again, actually the hardest moments in my life, you know, I always say like my breakdowns have led to my breakthroughs. And to all those people that have hurt me and caused so much, you know, anguish in my life, I thank them the most, because they are the ones that taught me the biggest and greatest lessons in life. And I think, you know, not everybody that comes into your life is meant to stay. We meet people and then we go again. And if you've ever heard of that red string theory, I guess it's like from a Chinese fable, that we're all interconnected. We're meant to weave in and out, but we're not always meant to stay together. And I think, again, that's part of our freedom. Like, it's freeing not to live forever. It's freeing not to be with somebody forever. You know, when you're in love with someone, that's a choice every single day, a conscious decision that you make, because no one's forcing you ever to stay with somebody.
I know we've jumped from so many topics.
Yeah, we have.
To and from. I know, this is such a Fee and I conversation, by the way. Literally, you're all just listening in on a conversation between Fee and I that we have every single day.
It's a casual chat we have.
But I'm really just, I know, it's so intense every day. I love it. But one thing that I do want to kind of talk about is those relationships and choosing relationships. I have friends who are like, I must be in this all-consuming relationship. They must love me. That is, it must be all about me. And that is not a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship is give and take. A healthy relationship is growing together. It's also choosing, as you said, to be in that relationship and working on that relationship. The ones that you see in the movies do not exist.
No.
They do not exist. There is no such thing as relationships like they have in the movies. It's bullshit. There's no such thing. And I see this with my clients all the time. And the other thing that I see with my clients all the time is the ones who are questioning about their love lives. If you have to question it, then you know it's not right.
Oh, that hits really deep, doesn't it, for many people? And I think you really hit it on the head, Anita, when you spoke about the movies and, you know, the fairy tales, because that's the conditioning that we get, we learn that we think that love looks like this. And I think on a, you know, if you would take it spiritually, like, love is freedom. Love is unattaching. Love has no ego. So if you truly love someone, I think my definition is you want them to be happy. I want them to be happy whether they're with me, whether they're not in my life, like whatever, because that is the most pure type of love. I think Osho, he speaks about it like being a flower. If you love a flower, don't pick it up. I'll let you ponder about
that
one.
So true. Do you know what is so funny? This is so, this is such a you and me thing.
Oh my gosh.
I literally walked past flowers today, walking back home from my car, and there was literally carnations on the ground, and I went to pull one up and I was like, no, I'm going to leave it and let it grow.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is so us. Like, something we'll like talk about and it has like a meaning for each other and we don't even know. I freaking love this. Wow. I'm like, I don't even know what to say anymore.
I know. That just happened like half an hour ago before I got on this call. There was a carnation and I was like, oh my God, carnations, they're so pretty. I've never seen them growing in the wild. What the hell? And I went to pick it up and I was like, no. I'm going to leave that there. And that is crazy.
I love us, and I love that the profoundness of this moment, which I could have never anticipated. Like, this is why the universe is crazy.
Absolutely. And I think, like, people just need to, you know, going back to the whole trusting thing, that these things are, there is magic everywhere. There is literally magic everywhere. And I think it takes, it always takes a conversation with you, Fee, for me to realize that there is magic everywhere, and you've just got to trust that it's coming and that it's going to happen. And if you are in a down period and you do want to just spend the weekends at home and you don't want to go out and see people and you just want to recharge and re-energize, it's usually because the universe is going, hey, Anita, hey, Fee, you're about to go into a slam and busy period, and this is your rest before that.
Yeah, I love that. Like, everything happens for a reason. And when you were talking about that, I remembered something that one of my mentors taught me, and she kind of spoke about how your mind, it's always kind of like a veil that just sits above everything else. And if you're just so busy behind the veil and you don't even, like, you know, push the veil aside to see the truth behind things, you're always going to be falling into the patterns of your mind and the stories that it creates. That's inevitable. So I think the one thing that people really need to realize is to step back from their thoughts, to question things. And instead of being really, like, hateful on themselves or judgmental or feeling ashamed, it's about getting really curious. Like, why am I thinking these things? It's probably linked to maybe something that happened in your childhood or a past memory, you know. And we could even go on, because past lives are a whole nother basket that you don't even consciously realize, right? So just get curious is what I would say to many people.
Oh, I love that. Just get curious. That is so true. Get curious. Get, you know, but also live.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one thing that I have learned the last couple of weeks, and I feel like I'm, like, bringing this a lot back to me, but I want everybody to know this has been a really rough couple of months for me personally, in terms of who I am, my career, where I am at in life. And I think one thing that I've really, really learned is that I just need to let it all go and just continue living my life, and whatever happens, happens, and still have goals and still have things that I want to strive for. But the biggest lesson I have learned is take the fucking pressure off. The pressure that we put on ourselves is, no one puts the amount of pressure on you that you put on yourself.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so funny you mentioned that, because that is one of the analogies that I use with my clients. I'm like, you're the one that keeps carrying the bags around. No one's asking you to carry all this shit, but you're the one that just keeps carrying it. So all you have to do is just drop it, right?
Just drop it.
Because your mind is like, oh, I have to. Like, if anything is a have to, should, must, then you know that it's the mind. It's not your intuition. Because there's never.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right? Your mind creates the must. And actually, it's a sign that you've been conditioned or programmed from something. Because your intuition doesn't really always say, oh, you must do this right now. Your soul's like, okay, you know what to do. Make it happen. And there's never that pressure. And I think something that we all fall for is the timelines. I should be this by this age, have kids, be married. And it's like, again, it's a social construct. No one's actually,
it's
like, who's making
construct.
Fucking timelines and rules? And so I'm so passionate about, like, unlearning all of this bullshit that you picked up on. And, you know, I'm so proud of you as a friend, first of all, because for you, it honestly makes my heart, like, so warm. And I just feel so emotional because I'm so proud of you, because you have been through a hard time, and it's so hard to share this to people outside your trusted circle. And you're going to help, like, people listening to this will be helped. And if anything, we want to remove the stigma from mental health, from, you know, just life. Like, life is fucking hard. We're all in this burden together, and we can lighten the load together by, when we speak about things, we remove the shame from what we're experiencing.
Yeah, of course. And I know a lot of people at the time of recording, we're in the 7th of December, so releasing on the 8th. So Christmas is just around the corner. And I know there are a lot of people who are really struggling to now go see their family for whatever reason. And a lot of that comes with the stigma of, what are you doing? Because you're seeing family who you haven't seen all year, maybe. And a lot of the extended family, they're like, why aren't you married? Why haven't you got kids? Why aren't you, you know, did you finish your uni degree? Do you own your house yet? why can't you meet somebody? And that pressure that you get from the external, that can be very, very, very triggering and very, very scary. And I think that's why the collective energy at the moment is feeling all of these things, because if you're not already feeling that you are where you're meant to be and you're already going through this huge transformation, and then you have other people who, by the way, are projecting some of their shit onto you,
yeah,
but they're also meant to mirror you as well, which is something that's a whole other thing. But when they're mirroring you and they're saying to you, why are you single, Anita? You're like, well, why am I? You know, why should I have be married and have kids by now? Should I be living the white picket fence life? Should I be much further in my career? You know, and you kind of go through this process of going, maybe I'm not good enough for this. Maybe I'm not worthy. This is not going to happen for me. And these are all very, 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 very real things. Obviously, I'm speaking from quite a specific experience. Like, I know there's people out there listening who are married, who already have those things, but are looking for something more, or they're looking for, you know, a new career or what's next. It's all the same thing. It's like that pressure and that feeling of I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. Maybe this won't happen for me. And it's about turning that around and going, this is my journey. And the social construct of having that timeline is literally fabricated. It is literally created by the human experience. It's not created for you personally.
Yeah, and I think that's where you drop your power. That's where you give your power away to these external things. And I think one thing to know about the brain is that voice that's inside you, there's that higher voice, that intuition we spoke about, but then there's that manufactured voice that's created based on your upbringing and your experiences and what your friends and family say. And I think we talk about this a lot. It's that open head in human design, like stepping back and being like, is this my thought or did someone else put this thought into my head? And again, really questioning where these things come from, because if you were to trace back, where's that thought? Like, who says that you have to be married by a certain age? There literally is no rule book in history that says everybody must be, you know, married at this age. And I think it's about being kind with yourself, because we inevitably compare ourselves to other people. But really, as we know, we should just compare ourselves to the past, who we were yesterday, not anybody outside of ourselves. And of course, social media and all those things exacerbate it. But we both know that social media is just a construct again. It's like the highlight reels of somebody's life. Like, think back to when there was no such thing as social media. Like, no one really did like take photos like, here I am on holiday, or here's I'm engaged in all these things. It was like, I don't know, through a telephone call or something. Only people you actually talk to every day.
Yeah, your actual people. I mean, and you've got a huge following now of 15,000 people, and you know, to some people that's not huge, but it is, you know, huge to us. And that's a lot of energies coming at you. That's 15,000 people. You know, think of whenever I think about, you know, followers, like, so if I've got 3,500 followers, and you go, imagine 3,500 people in a room staring at you.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Imagine 15,000 people staring at you and all of those energies and all of that collective. But, you know, with social media, it's about using that platform to create a positive space, which is something that you do. I really urge everybody to go onto Fee's Instagram, because it is such a positive place. There's also parts of Fee that are on there that are actually not so positive. There's you know, there's a lot of the, when there's a new moon, when there's a full moon, when there's a lot of moon,
terrible,
whatever moon it is, you know, it really does affect people. And I think, but it is, we do need to understand that social media is that highlight reel. And one thing that I guess I do want to talk to you about is this notion of new year, new me. And my beautiful friend Thomas sent this question in, and Thomas gave some really awesome questions actually for you, Fee. But this one is, the notion of new year, new me isn't new, but how do you really make a lasting change once you set a resolution in a new year?
Ooh, I might give like a real rogue answer, because to be
honest, I love rogue answers.
Well, because time isn't real. I don't even believe in like new years and endings, really. That's like a social construct again. Like, you can change your life at any time.
Funny.
You can freaking book the plane ticket. You can break up. You can quit the job. You can do it right now. You don't have to wait for this random date, the 31st of December, 2021. You can do it right now, December 7, 1:40 p.m., right? So when you realize that, again, you're living in a construct that the only true moment is now. How we create the future is this present moment. The future is a string of present moment, present moment, present moment, present moment. So whatever you do now creates the future. So what are you going to do with that information?
I love that. And here I was going, I can't wait to January 31st. Yeah. Sorry, December 31st to January, because it just feels like a reset. And I get what you mean. It's like about waking up in the morning and consciously going, actually, no, this is my day.
Yeah.
This is the brand new day.
Why does it have to be at this day? It could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 20 minutes.
I love that. You're so right. It could happen in 20 minutes. It could happen at 2 o'clock.
It could happen at any time. So I think it's like, again, you're creating that goal, but the universe doesn't operate on time, as we know. Like, there's all these timelines happening right now. And so what I would say is, if you want to make lasting change, focus on the present moment, make it happen, and ignore these timelines.
So because people are so fatigued and exhausted, how do you make that positive first step? If you decide that you've listened to this podcast and you're so inspired by the two of us, yeah, and you're like, you know what, I'm ready to make that first step. How do you do it if you're feeling exhausted?
Just do the damn thing. No excuses, no perfection. Just do it, because done is better than not done at all, right? That's where the regrets happen, when you don't do something. It's about just taking, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, nothing changes if nothing changes. So if you don't do anything, nothing's going to change. So you're going to have to just do something, get a result, and then, you know, reanalyze and reevaluate based on that, and then keep moving, right? As long as you're moving, it doesn't matter if you move backwards or sideways, at least you're moving and you're not staying stuck and still in one position. Yeah, it's an inspired action, and, you know, intention is beautiful. That's really necessary, but it's like the energy you're coming through it. Like, if you do something and it doesn't work out, but you know in your heart that you tried your best and you gave it your all, that's freaking powerful energy that will carry on to the next event. So I think it's about, you know, getting excited and not limiting yourself and seeing that every new moment, anything could happen. And the most incredible thing is, you are the writer of your story. You get to pick when to turn the pages, to rewrite the story and whatever. So take that power and do the damn thing.
I love it. If you've not learned anything at all from us, learn that one thing. Just do the damn thing. And it's so true. It's just like getting in there and just doing it. Send that email. Send a text message. Tell someone you love them. You know, wake up in the morning and meditate. Go meditate now, you know, write something you're grateful for. Gratitude is such a huge thing. And I know, you know, one thing that you did mention earlier was about toxic positivity. And toxic positivity is bloody negative, because, you know, it's all about, I'm not doing my gratitude list, I'm not doing my affirmations, I'm not doing that. But if you just do one of those a day, or if you just do one of those when you remember, that's one step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Just doing something. And, you know, I think something interesting that just popped back, which I don't know how it relates, because our conversation is just so like interweaving everywhere, is that people are living on borrowed time. Like, people just think, oh, I have time to do that next week or next month. And one thing I learned personally, like when my dad passed away, is that we are, you know, every day you are dying. You're getting closer to death. So what are you going to do in this beautiful freaking miracle and gift that is life? Like, don't wait, because it might not be there. You know, COVID happened and all these people didn't travel or get married and do all the things. So again, learn the lesson from this and take action now.
How would you recommend that people live in the present?
I think it's about dropping out of your mind and into your body, because life is experienced through the senses, you know, sight, touch, smell, being in our body. I think we've become so caught up that we've forgotten what it feels like to be in our body. Like, that's why people are so numb and they have all these addictions like eating, drugs and gambling, because they're trying to buffer their feelings. They don't want to feel their feelings. And so I think it's about, you know, there are practices, but the number one thing is breathing. Because if you breathe, like, I mean, I'd love for you to try this now, Anita, is when you're breathing, you can't hold a thought at the same time. All you can do is be in that moment and breathe. And so when I get overwhelmed, when my clients get overwhelmed, I'm like, literally, breathe, motherfucker. I think that's what Wim Hof says. Breathe, motherfucker.
Actually, everybody do it. So everybody who's listening, take a really deep breath. So take a deep breath in. and breathe out. And breathe in. And breathe out. It's so true.
There you go.
I actually feel so much calmer all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I always tell people you're meditating if you, as long as your exhale is longer than your inhale, like you're meditating, like you're literally giving signals to your body, like your nervous system, like it's okay, like calm down. Again, it's like going back to that fight or flight. You need to consciously rewire your bodily response, being like, okay, body, like I love that you're telling me this, but you don't have to worry. You don't have to panic. It's all good. Just breathe, you know?
That's really interesting about meditation. One thing that a lot of people, I say, do you meditate? And people kind of panic. They're like, oh, I can't meditate. Or I don't know how. And I think you've just given the key away right there, is that meditation is literally just taking a big, deep breath.
Yeah, and I think people have this misconception that meditation, the goal is to have no thoughts and just be like perfectly happy still. But actually what I've come to learn through my Vedic meditation practice is that meditation is simply the process of presence, of being here and allowing all the thoughts and not attaching yourself, but just watching with curiosity. And I think it's a game changer. You know, I started 1 minute a day and now I've gone up because I can see the tangible effects on my life. And, you know, you don't need to like do all the other things and escape yourself, because meditation's going inwards. It's reconnecting with source and your soul. Like, what could be more beautiful than that? I mean, I'm in the spiritual woo-woo, so I think it's lovely, but I think try it. I think, you know, I always tell people just do it for 1 minute. Surely you can spare 1 minute of your whole day to just breathe, because
I think people forget to breathe.
People
all the
forget
time.
To breathe. Yeah. Like, you know, we learn in Wim Hof that everyone's really shallow breathing, but proper breathing goes like all the way in your lungs and all the way down to your belly. And I don't really do that. Like sometimes I myself forget to properly breathe.
And the other thing that people should do if you're interested is grounding yourself. And literally grounding, and I've taught Fee this
one.
Yes,
you did.
You can literally just put your feet on the ground, and it doesn't need to be in the beach. It doesn't need to be on the grass. It does help if you want to do that. But literally, if you're feeling like you're up in the clouds and you can't settle, is I guess the best way to put it. You literally just put your feet on the ground and you imagine two energy cords coming through the bottom of your feet. I always imagine it going straight down to the core of the earth. And I actually have a silver hook, a metal hook that the energy cords wrap around. And it literally brings you back down to earth. And it makes you just, you get a bit more centered. You can breathe. It's usually when you're in a time of crisis and you feel like your energy's super duper up in the air. I'm sure people listening have their own version of when you're not feeling grounded. It's when you're like, blah, 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 is the best way to explain it, I guess. But grounding yourself when you're feeling those moments of I can't do this, or getting into that negative self-talk, will actually bring you back down to earth, and it will actually bring you back into the present, and it will get you back into this mode of bringing in, I guess, bringing in abundance, bringing in love, and understanding the present moment.
Yeah, I think grounding is so important. It's something that you taught me as well, because energy is very palpable. Like other people's energies are out there. And so if you're not grounded, it's very easy to get swept up in things that aren't even yours, you know, fear, anxiety, panic, that's not yours, but you'll mistake it as your own, which is something that I've learned thanks to you.
And for a lot of people out there who are empaths, firstly, what an amazing quality that you are blessed to have, because we are so lucky to be empaths in this world. We're very, very lucky to be able to feel and to feel for others and to feel so deeply. But the other thing that you also have to realize when you are an empath is you're more likely to pick up on everybody else's energies. You're more likely to walk out of the house and feel, oh my gosh, what is going on with the world? You're more likely to feel a bit more depressed. You're more likely to feel like nothing is going to go right. But a lot of the time, if you're an empath, you're actually picking up on everybody else's energies, and you've got to also understand that a lot of the time it's not you.
Mm. Yeah. And I think like sensitivity is truly a superpower. You do pick up on the details and the little things, but I think when you taught me that, that was the biggest game changer. Like, oh, you're feeling scared, but maybe that's not actually you. And I was like, oh, yeah, it isn't me. That's like the energy of the people I've been talking to or overhearing conversations or even listening on the radio, like whatever.
I mean, I had this conversation with someone today who works with his hands, and he's kind of a healer of sorts, but more in the medicinal field. But what was really interesting was that I said to him, you know, you're dealing with people every single day. And if you go home and you need that time to yourself, it's because you're actually recalibrating and you're actually consuming everybody else's issues. And what he's actually doing is by physically touching other people, he's actually like absorbing their issues. He's taking their pain away. Mm. He is literally taking their pain away by massaging or whatever. And it's really important that he understands that he needs to protect himself when he's going out, when he's going out into the office or whatever. And he's really got to understand that a lot of the time when you're feeling all of these major feelings, it's a lot of what's happening around you. It's not really him. And that's why he needs those down times. That's why he needs those times of, I just need to not talk to anybody or whatever. But you can protect yourself. So if you do find that you're the same type of person, you're in a field where you actually are physically helping others or you're holding on to other people, nurses find this a lot, psychologists, doctors, anybody who is in the healing field, that could be a physio, that could be a doctor, a nurse, whatever, anyone in those healing fields, you almost need to protect yourself more because you're dealing with low vibrational every single day. And that's what Fee and I deal with on a regular basis. You know, I'm usually dealing with people who, and I love it, don't get me wrong, who have issues or they need help with something, or we delve into something that is very, very difficult. And so it's really important that you protect yourself. And protection doesn't have to be a huge thing. Protection can literally be, I protect myself. I surround myself in a white light and I protect myself. Go into the shower. Imagine white light going down on you every single day. That's protecting yourself. Protect yourself with a 360 mirror, an invisible mirror, that whatever, it's a mirror towards you and a mirror towards everybody else. It's a 360 mirror. Whatever comes from you goes back to you. Whatever goes from them goes back to them. It's not these types of things, meditation, manifestation, protecting yourself, all of those things, it is a very personal journey. It is not a one size fits all. Obviously, do your research. Find what works for you. That is the one thing that I have found is what works for you. When I teach my friends tarot, don't look at the book. What resonates for you? What is this message coming through for you? It's really important that you find what works for you. There is no one size fits all.
Well said, Anita. Well said. I definitely agree with you.
I know that this has been a lot of information for a lot of people, and we hope that this has helped anybody listening. Fee, are there any lasting words that you want to kind of give about this type of thing, about self-improvement, about self-empowerment, about manifesting a positive life?
Ooh, I think the first thing is just to remember, you know, your thoughts aren't facts, and to enjoy the journey, because it truly is about the journey, not the destination, and to know that it's all unfolding perfectly as it should. And, you know, to trust yourself and to remember that you can't hate yourself into loving yourself or being better. Everything can only be done through love. So be super kind, gentle, and compassionate with yourself, because the fact that you're open and willing to trying to work on yourself, like if we all did that in the world, it would be a better place. So I wish them luck and so much love.
So much love to anybody listening. And I hope that whenever you start your new year,
Yes.
Whether it's the 31st of Jan at midnight to Jan 1 or whether it's tomorrow, you know, I hope that whatever reset that you need, that you find it from a place of love and that you're able to just enjoy life. Do not strip your life of joy by being fearful.
Yeah, that's so well said. To remember to truly be alive, which is all of the things, feeling all of the things, the happiness, you know, the trauma, all of it, just to really enjoy this human experience because it is a gift and we don't know what tomorrow holds or the next moment.
Well, on that note, this has been truly amazing.
Thank you.
I've loved every second. Thank you. And I really hope that this has helped everybody listening.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was such a good chat. If you want to get in touch with Fee, you can follow her on Instagram at thefeedang, P-H-I-D-A-N-G, or go to her website, www.feedang.com. And if you like this chat, you can rate, follow and review and follow me on Instagram at AnitaAnnabelle_ and at TheGoodChatPod. See you next week.